Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to be with you. Steve Jones, along with the video game champion, Kevin Herr.
Now, that'll be tonight when I play that.
What are you playing tonight?
The par 3 at the Masters.
Wow. All right. Jokhar Tsarnaev convicted on all 30 counts, which was no surprise. I mean, because the defense attorney, who, is, by the way, has a brilliant reputation, she has had the reputation of taking on cases such as these and making sure her clients did not get the death penalty. They conceded he did it. Okay. So the verdict is not a surprise. It's the next phase where she's going to earn her money. And that's where she's done it over the years with many cases. Starting with, she was the attorney for Susan Smith, the woman who drowned her children, I think it was in South Carolina, wasn't it? And she was able to convince a jury there to give her life instead of giving her the death penalty. That will be the next phase in this trial. Tsarnaev was found guilty on the 30 counts, 17 of which in Massachusetts do bring with it the death penalty. And that phase of the trial is coming up. Her argument is going to be that the older brother who was killed, Tamerlan Tsarnaev, was actually the mastermind of all of this. And that Jokhar Tsarnaev was robotic in what he did. That's going to be the argument in this case for her when it comes to the death penalty phase. So again, guilty on all 30 counts, including conspiracy and deadly use of a weapon of mass destruction. 17 of the counts are punishable by death. And of course, as you recall, on April 15th, 2 years ago, we had our entire show was about the bombing. And three people were killed that day at the Boston Marathon finish line, including an 8-year-old. Lingzi Liu, 23-year-old Chinese graduate student at Boston University. Crystal Campbell, a 29-year-old restaurant manager, and 8-year-old Martin Richard were all killed by the bombs. 260 people were hurt. Many lost limbs and will be scarred for life, both physically and emotionally. And then MIT police officer Sean Collier was shot to death at close range days later. The primary piece of evidence, of course, is Tsarnaev himself planting the backpack containing one of the bombs near 8-year-old Martin Richard and killing him. Now the phase that the attorney was brought in for, I think her name is Susan Clark, I believe. is the attorney. And she's one of the foremost death penalty specialists. And over the years, she has saved the lives of Susan Smith, the woman who drowned her two children in South Carolina in a lake in 1994, and also the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski. The death penalty phase will be the next one that will start in a few days, probably early next week. And we'll see how that plays out. But that is the big story of the day, that Joker Tsarnaev convicted in the Boston Marathon bombing. Of course, Tamerlan Tsarnaev was killed by police, his older brother, which the defense will contend was the mastermind behind all of this. So that is the primary story of the day. And by the way, the parents of Martin Richard, who was just eight at the time, were in the courtroom today. Denise Richard, the boy's mother, wiped tears from her face after the verdict. The boy's father, Bill Richard, embraced one of the prosecutors. So that's the big story of the day. And it is sports related in that, obviously, it was at the Boston Marathon. Then grip the nation. Now, we're still waiting to hear about Aaron Hernandez. That is now in the hands of the jury as well. And this is also not a case, for Aaron Hernandez, a simple case of if he's found guilty, he goes to prison. If he's not guilty, he walks out of the court. Well, if he were to be found not guilty, he's not going to walk out of the court. Because now he'd be sent to another prison right away because he is implicated in the deaths of two other people in Boston's combat zone. So the courtroom dominates the sports pages on this day, and you have a player for the Indiana Pacers who was in the hospital after being stabbed in New York last night. So, meanwhile, Mike Krzyzewski took exception to an apparent dig from Bo Ryan in the aftermath of the loss by the Badgers about rent-a-player. He says, we don't do rent-a-player. And he said, I know as a coach, you're the first guy up there when you lose. I've lost national championship games. I've been the loser. He said, it's never easy. You take one line out or a couple lines out without context, the line rent-a-player is not a good line because use one and done, rent could mean you're doing something illegal. So there's a better choice of words for that. If you say you don't do that one and done for your program, that's your right, but understand that everybody does it differently. There's more than one way to run a business. And just appreciate the expertise of all the people doing it in these ways. It was kind of hard to tell what he meant by rent-a-player because he also inserted in their fifth-year guys in there. So it was hard to tell what his reference was about. But you could take it the way Mike Krzyzewski took it. No question. Look, I understand. Look, Bo Ryan, like I said, Bo Ryan, I think, knows something that I think anybody who astutely looks at their situation. And look, let's face it. I've done every Big Ten game that Penn State's ever played in Right. So obviously I've seen the Wisconsin program up close, or at least within a conference context of up close, for 23 seasons. Stu Jackson sort of got it going. Dick Bennett got them to a Final Four, doing it very much with the style his son Tony uses today. Tony probably has better athletes at Virginia. And then Bo Ryan has stepped in, and Bo Ryan's done a great job. But I think Wisconsin's a program that, in all likelihood, is a team that gets to the tournament and might have enough in the tank to get to the second weekend. Sweet 16. Might. The opportunity to play for a championship, I think, was probably a once-in-a-lifetime situation for Bo Ryan in Wisconsin. He's 68 years old now. Is he ever going to have two NBA players on his team at the same time again? In Frank Kaminsky and Sam Decker? Is he? I don't think so. He'll get good players, no question. He'll always get good players. And he does a lot with them. He coaches them up really well, scouts it up really well, does a great job. But you have to have circumstances fall into place to win this whole thing. The tumblers fell into place for him to win this. This was his shot, and I think he knows it. I know that's my gut feeling, that this was the shot to win it. I don't see other shots. I don't. And it's not easy to win it, as I mentioned. Mike Krzyzewski's won five. I think Mike Krzyzewski has brilliantly been able to coach and manage this, but I also think the USA basketball experience has also paid exponential dividends for him, being around NBA players, being around the NBA style, having players see him around LeBron James. I think Duke's a great sell to begin with. Mike Krzyzewski's a great sell to begin with, but I think the added cherry on the top is when they see him with LeBron James and other NBA players coaching them for the United States in the Olympics. I think that has helped even more so, especially with some of the players he's been able to get, Okafor, Tyus Jones, Winslow. I think that's paid tremendous dividends for Mike Krzyzewski, and he has brilliantly taken advantage of it, and he's an excellent strategist. He has adapted with the times. He has adapted with the times. The times indicate that if you can manage and mold with one-and-done players, you can win championships. Mike Krzyzewski did not have a single player leave early in his tenure at Duke until Elton Brand did back in 1999. Coach K's 20th year at Duke. It's the first time he lost a player early, let alone one and done. He's adapted with the times. Winning is hard, as I pointed out yesterday. Dean Smith, 11 Final Fours, 1-2. Roy Williams, all those great teams at Kansas, never won. How many Final Fours Jim Boeheim been to? 6? In his career, 1-1. John Calipari, 6, 1-1. Tom Izzo's been to 7, 1-1. Give Jim Calhoun credit. We don't talk enough about Jim Calhoun. He's 1-3. It's not easy to win. Thad Bond has had some really good teams at Ohio State. Been to the Final Four, hasn't won. That Illinois team in 2005 was tremendous, didn't win. It's just not easy. And hats off to Gina Auriemma, 10th win last night, national championship. But can we put something to bed very quickly? Do you have people out there saying, hey, Gina Auriemma tied Phil Jackson with 10 championships? Nobody would do that. But they do it in context with John Wooden because it's college basketball. No. It's all basketball, but it's all different basketball. Phil Jackson has 10 NBA championships. John Wooden has 10 men's basketball championships. Gina Auriemma has 10 women's basketball championships. None is more important than the other. It's all excellence within your profession. But there is a separator because each type of basketball is different basketball. That's all. It's basketball, but it's different. It's each one is different. Not better, not worse, just different. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When you reach 100, it's time to celebrate. Sunbury Motors is having their 100th year celebration. Due to the overwhelming response to SMC's 67th annual new truck sale, it's being extended through April while supplies last. Ford Motor Company has shipped Sunbury Motors an additional 55 F-150s to meet the demand of Central PA's truck buyers. Take up to $10,000 off new F-150s. And 4x4 supercabs start as low as $29,934. SMC has over 70 of the top-selling 2015 Ford Escapes, and they're on sale starting at $19,915. And 2015 seven-passenger four-wheel drive Explorers are reduced to under $30,000. 0% financing for up to 72 months is available on many models, and every new Ford is clearly marked with huge savings during Sunbury Motors' 100th year celebration. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. Come celebrate a century of savings with SMC.
All right, so a big news day, and the Masters, the par 3 contest today. I think it's really good that Tiger Woods is playing in this. Hasn't played in the par 3 since 2004. He's given every indication that he's loosened up a little bit. And not only that, but, you know, he has his two kids playing or caddying for him in the tournament. And I know that he's had his kids to actually take some shots for him today at the par three, which is really, he hasn't played in the thing since 2004. He actually, yesterday at his press conference, was this happy-go-lucky guy. And after watching his press conference, and people have watched him a little bit in the range, a lot of people have jumped on the bandwagon. He's hugging people, hugging players. Sometimes when something happens to you, well, sometimes maybe you appreciate the whole thing more. You probably felt like you were appreciating it a lot when you were doing it. But suddenly when you can't do it and you're worried you may never be able to do it again, maybe your appreciation for it grows and you appreciate the other players and the other people around you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome back to the Steve Jones Show. A couple of big news stories that we'll update you on at the top of the hour with CBS News. With the Boston Marathon bombing trial, they have reached a verdict. Guilty on all counts, as it would appear. The details coming up with CBS News. In the Sunbury Motors studio, the very wonderful and talented Steve Jones.
But you know what, Kev? I mean, to be honest with you, that part of the trial was pretty much a given.
Not a surprise.
Yeah, but that's a given. I mean, they admit he did it. The part of the trial that is why this attorney, Susan Clark, was brought in is the next phase of the trial. That's actually the key. That's why she's there. She was not there for the guilt or innocence part. Her entire purpose in the trial is the next phase. This is where she has earned a stellar reputation as a defense attorney. From Susan Smith to Ted Kaczynski. She has been able to brilliantly argue over the years that whomever she was representing should get life and not the death penalty. That's where she has earned her money over the years. And she is universally respected, by the way. So that's that. Actually, the next phase of the trial is now the pivotal phase of the trial. Because, I mean, everybody knows he's guilty. And that, I mean, guilt? No. I mean, that's pretty obvious. There's
a lot of video evidence.
And a lot of video evidence. Now, what could potentially hurt him in the next phase that she's going to have to fight? And the key for her is that she's going to try to explain that the older brother, Tamberlin, was the one who was the mastermind, the genius, and he robotically carried it out and so forth. What the part that may hurt her in this phase is they're going to have to explain the writing in the boat. And they have photos of what he wrote in the boat. And that's something that she's going to have to fight in all of this. That to me, that might be as big a piece of evidence
. Well, they're going for the brainwashed little brother following the big brother.
Right, but here it is. Big brother's already dead, and he's writing all this stuff. I mean, that's what they're going to talk about. I mean, look, I mean, you want to know how much of a defense she put up? Okay, they barely cross-examined government witnesses. They only called 4 people to the stand in 2 days.
Yeah, and he didn't take the stand at all.
Oh, and he'll never take the stand.
No.
No, he'll never take it. Her witnesses were that he was at UMass Dartmouth while the older brother was out buying bombs or the components for them, including the pressure cookers and the BBs and things like that. And then they said that Joe Carr spent most of his time on Facebook. Okay. Well, on April 15th, he went on Facebook, I can tell you that. So they will get to the penalty phase. But see, to me, it's what he wrote in the boat. That's the part that could be for the part they need to overcome. Because what he wrote in the boat, and it's not just like a quick note. There was a lot of writing in the boat. He was in the boat a long time, the one they finally captured. A little bit of the writing was obscured because of the bullet holes. But I mean, that is going to be what they look at. To me, that's if you had to pick one piece of evidence above all, that is the... that's going to be a hurdle for them to overcome in this phase, it's going to be that. Because he wrote it. All right? He wrote it. And I think I had a copy here of what the heck it was. Let's see here. Now, some parts of it were rambling, but other parts were not. Oh, yeah, here it is. It's Arnaev's message in the boat. And he wrote it in pencil in the boat, too, because like, that's what he had. But that's... Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. But Boston Police Officer Todd Brown, a member of the department's bomb squad, testified that he searched the boat parked in David Henneberry's backyard to make sure that there were no explosive devices after Tsarnaev was discovered hiding there. No bombs were found, but they noticed writing in pencil. And this is what, you know, and it's a... And that's going to be the part they'll have to overcome in this trial. Oh. And I'm sure Mark will have more on all of this tomorrow, but it is sports-related because it was the Boston Marathon. So that's why we brought that up. Masters gets underway tomorrow. Tiger is in the next-to-last group, I believe. Kevin has him. And by the way, your Masters game, gone. Okay? What? Not sanctioned any... it's not sanctioned any longer with Augusta National.
Oh, yeah. They're not using it anymore. I know. It's an outrage.
God, you got ripped off.
No, it's a classic now.
Classic? Classic what?
It's the only game... Well, I would imagine Augusta National's probably going to make their own, but...
Yeah, I would.
But if they don't, it's now going to be the only way you can play the Masters.
Next Tuesday at the Creamery.
The Creamery?
Yes, here at the Penn State campus. Next Tuesday at the Creamery. Oh. A special guest will be on hand. Jeff Gordon will be here next Tuesday.
What are they doing? New ice cream, Grapey Gordon?
It's a press conference. Let's see. Trying to see here. Let's see. The Penn State car is scheduled to drive by the Creamery and the crowds at 4:30. Jeff will finish the loop with the car to the Jordan Center and back and drive back around and park it on the patio at the Creamery. Then you'll have some idiot introduce him. Who would that idiot be? There we go.
Well, they haven't called me yet, so must not be me.
No, they want me to do this thing, so. I haven't said yes or no yet. I know that bothers you. You would have said yes right away.
I don't know, probably.
Oh, come on. Your chance to be around. I mean, the day he announced that he was going to retire, you made it like the lead story, even though it was like actually
it was.
Seven for the day.
It was.
Even though it was the number seven story of the day.
It was the lead story of the day.
For you?
For most people in sports.
Why didn't it lead SportsCenter that night?
Because they don't have NASCAR anymore.
God,
that's not hard to figure out.
Let's see. Business building. Jeff Gordon will start the car, then drive through campus.
Well, those things are pretty loud. I've been next to them as they've been starting.
Gordon and car will pull up to the mark in front of the crowd in the patio of the Creamery. Exits car.
Really? They have it all written out that he will exit the car?
Yes. Blah, 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 blah. That's a lot of blah, blah I have to do here.
It's a lot of blah, blah there.
Yeah, a lot of blah, blah, whatever. But he's going to be here. Now, you're bitter that he wasn't the lead story.
No, it was the lead story in places that, you know, that actually understand that NASCAR is popular. ESPN would not be one of those now that they don't do it anymore.
You're so bitter on this show. Do you know how bitter you are?
It's just a I'm just making a statement. It's an observation. I mean, let's face it. If ESPN isn't carrying it, they're not really focused on it. It's an afterthought. Although the NBA is talked about every 30 seconds.
They get ratings.
Woo.
Woo what?
You know what NBA stands for, right? The No Basketball Association. Because they're really not playing basketball. It's a free-for-all.
But there are other things out there that, like, that you just hate because...
No, not really.
People are getting a little worried about you.
Hey, did you see the Pirates sign Josh Harrison today?
Yeah, I mean, but people are getting worried about
you now. Hey, did you see the Pirates sign their third baseman today? Got an extension through 2018.
That's an interesting story up to a point. I would have waited. I mean, I would have waited half the season to see if he's producing the same way he was producing before.
Well, they gave themselves an option, but down the road.
Yeah, they signed him for 4 years. I mean, I think he had a great year last year, and I described him a year ago as a utility player. But this obviously diverts away from your bitterness in life. The lead story is that you're bitter.
Here's a story that you're not going to see on ESPN.com. Let me just double check to make sure it's not there. Let me just double, because this is one that's kind of a bad situation for ESPN. Let's see. I don't see it there. Their new website stinks, by the way. I don't see it there. But
I like working with happy people.
That's great.
Charles Barkley's happy.
Yeah, I was gonna say you laugh at Barkley all the time for his bluntness about things. It appears as though the winner of ESPN's bracket challenge will not be able to claim the prize.
He's 12 years old.
Yeah, I don't see that on ESPN.com.
Well, I'm sure there's a rule.
There was a rule that you had to be 18 or older. He signed in on his dad's account.
Then he can't win.
Listen, am I saying that ESPN is wrong here? I'm not saying they're wrong by denying the prize because it did not follow their rules, which were clearly stated, or so I assume. I'm just saying you don't see that on ESPN.com because it's kind of a slap in the face for him. No trip to Hawaii, no $20,000 Best Buy card. Denied.
I understand that.
Now, my question is,
here it is.
If he used
sixth grade. Hold on, sixth grader right. Wins ESPN's tournament challenge. It's on their website.
Oh, they do. How far down is it?
Well, it's on their basketball part of their website.
Oh, yeah, let's bury it as far as we can.
Well, no, in other words, if you wanted to look at your bracket on bracketology, you had to go on the new website. You have to go to
tournament challenge under men's basketball, under the NCAA men's thing.
Right. Well, that's where you found the story too.
Right. Buried.
It's not a major story. I mean, it's a contest.
I think it's a pretty big story if you have a tournament and somebody finally wins it. I think it is. I think it is a story.
I don't. I think it's a contest. A sixth grader won it. I think it's great that he won. It turns out that's not the rule.
But here's the thing. Let's say, all right, for the sake of argument, the story goes that he went on his dad's account.
Yeah.
Okay. How do they know it's a sixth grader? Technically, the account is not a sixth grader. So shouldn't his dad win the prize? It's his dad's account.
Well, first of all, the kid's honest about it. And they actually had him on.
That's my point.
They actually had him on the show today from Lake Zurich, Illinois. They actually had him on ESPN today, Sam Holtz. Right? And Chris McKendry interviewed him, along with Jay Crawford. So, you know, you act like there's some sinister thing here about what he did.
Let's put him on TV. He'll feel better then. We won't give him the prize, but we'll put him on ESPN. That'll make everything better.
But what's the rule?
The rule is you must be 18. But it does not say that you must be 18 to have an account. It's his dad's account. So technically, it's not his bracket. So the 12-year-old who filled out a bracket on his dad's account should actually get the prize because it's his dad's account. It's not like he set up an account under his own name.
No. To his credit, he's honest about it. He's the one that filled it out.
I think that's great. I am not saying anything against the young man for being honest about it. I think that's fantastic.
Okay. Yeah, and the father's honest about it. The father didn't sit there and take the money.
Agreed.
Okay. So, you know, so while you are looking at something sinister, I, on the other hand, find the honesty in it on the part of the father and the young man, while you are looking into, obviously, feeling that we've now uncovered the second Watergate.
Okay. I think it's really awkward to give a 12-year-old a trip for two to Maui. But so if you want to say, listen, we're not obligated to give you this prize because you did not follow the rules. I'll tell you what here. Enjoy the $20,000 Best Buy card because you technically did win, but you didn't follow all the rules to win everything.
But I think here's the issue. I don't know what the legalities are with him being that age.
Good.
Was he 12?
All right. Okay. Maybe he's an athlete.
Okay, first of all, because it's the NCAA basketball tournament, I don't think he'd be allowed to.
Yep, that's a very good point. That's one thing I didn't think about.
Because of eligibility. So I think that could be one of the reasons why they have this rule in there.
Although, does that still count if you didn't pay to get in?
Well, it doesn't matter. He'd still be receiving benefits from doing it.
No, I wasn't sure. I was just asking for clarification. And
Chris McKendry and Jay Crawford had a ride. This kid was funny. I mean, he had a great sense of humor about it and the whole thing. I mean, you know, what were the odds?
Better than my bracket.
Do you know who filled out an awesome bracket that was in the 99.4th percentile?
No.
Mitt Romney.
I did not fill out a bracket that accurate.
Mitt Romney actually filled out a bracket that was at 99.4 among all brackets. But this young man, Sam Holtz, father was honest about it, didn't take the cash. He was honest about it, didn't take the cash. Can't pick up the cash. But they were honest about it. Right? Meanwhile, you make it seem like five guys with South Florida or Cuban ties broke into the Democratic National Headquarters. You know? And Reese Davis and Chris Fowler tried to cover it up. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKO.